If we do. Overcoming our struggles, explaining why when it seems like we should be on a spiritual high, many times we're on a spiritual low. Now, the Bible does says concerning the devil, amen, that we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get the what?
Amen.
The advantage of us. So there are many times that we come to church, and before we come to church, so many different events take place, amen. I think you have a new church. Amen. But there are many times we say when we come to church, before we get to church, our minds are so displaced. So the devil knows that the scripture says that if we receive with meekness God's engrafted word is able to save our souls. And then in Hebrews, the scripture says we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. So what the devil does is he'll use something that happens. Either throughout the course of the day, something that happened during the week, or something that happened last week, he will use that to get our minds distracted, because if we do not receive it, if we let it slip, then we're not receiving God's word with meekness. So we need, when we come to church, we need to let everything else go. You know, we only come to church as service only twice a week. We don't want to let the devil rob us of a blessing that God has in his word. Amen. And you know, many times it's because of something that someone has said or done that we come to church. And God asked the children of Israel a question and through Jeremiah, actually the children of Judah a question through Jeremiah. He said, what iniquity have you found in me? Amen. When we come to church, God wants to know, what have I personally done to you that you close your ears to hearing my word? For the devil knows that if we come to church and we hear the word of God, then because our power is mighty through God, the word of God will pull down strongholds, then it will cast down imaginations, and every high thing that does what? Exalt itself. The devil's desire is to have something rival or exalt God's word. So when we come to church, and the reason we leave feeling empty is because we are here physically, but mentally, we're not here. So it's so important that when we come to church, amen, we need to let everything else lay aside. Because the scripture says, lay aside every weight. That thing, that event, that circumstance, whatever has happened, it has become a weight. And that weight will be set, or that weight will hold us back. So we need to lay aside every weight. Now it's easy to recognize a sin, but the problem is the weight that does so easily beset us. Amen. And last week we dealt with our struggles, and we dealt with the fact of how before we got saved, all of us had some type of a spirit that we didn't like about us. You know, I asked how many, I had a problem with anger before I got saved. My wife said that once while I said that. But Serena, you laughed at me? Whoa. I had a problem with anger before I got saved. Mostly when I played sports. I was horrendous when I played sports. But when we get saved, oh, y'all laughed at me. Because of volleyball, all right. Those are people in carnal mind. We're not going to pay any more attention. But what I'm saying is this. All of us had some spirit before we got saved. When we got saved, the Bible said that God cast that spirit out. Well, the spirit always wants to find its resting place, which is back in its original home. So, and it happens all the time, almost all the time. You're sitting down, you're happy in the Lord, and all of a sudden, something happened when you were a little kid. Did that ever pop up in your mind? All of a sudden, and all of a sudden, you feel a spirit of oppression, of depression. You feel like something is weighing you down. That is that spirit that the Lord has already cast out. You know what it's trying to do? It's trying to come back home to roost. So as long as we're alive, the Bible says many are the affliction of the righteous. But the Lord does what? Delivereth them out of them some. He delivers out of them all. Well, God delivers us. But the devil and his spirits, desire is always come back to roost. We went over it last week in Matthew's how when God saves us, he cleanses us up, and the devil leaves, and the house is swept, garnished, and it is empty. When we don't replace that empty house with God's spirit, then other spirits will try to come in to come back the way it's been cleansed. And then when we're not prayerful and watchful to keep that spirit out, if it can come back in, though it will not possess you, it will influence you. And that influence will be what? 7 times worse than when we first started. So let us stand for our scripture reading. We're going to read just 2 verses of scripture tonight. And then we're going to finish up on overcoming our struggles. And as I said last week, as long as we are saved, whether you're saved or not saved, you're going to have struggles. I will choose to rather struggle with God on my side. Amen. The struggle without God. I'd rather choose to struggle knowing that if God be for me, who can be against me, than to struggle without God. So we're going to read just 2 verses of scriptures tonight. And in us overcoming our struggle, we want the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. All right, so we're going to read verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 1. For those who don't have Bibles, it's on the screen. And the 17th verse reads, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you that in spite of all of our trials and circumstances, Lord, we thank you that in spite of our adversary's desire to have us, that he may sift us as we go, we thank you that you've kept us in spite of everything that seems to come against us. Lord, we thank you tonight that you've kept the wayward mind. Lord, you know those who's after this evening, Lord, that the devil has been wrestling in their mind. We thank you that they still have a mind to seek after thee. Now, Lord, our hearts cry even as the psalmist cry out, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Lord, try us and know our thoughts. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us, and then, Lord, we give you permission to lead us in the way of Lord God, tonight let the words of our mouth, Lord, let the meditation of our hearts be accepted in thy sight. Now, Lord, we ask you to open up the eyes of our understanding. Lord, enlighten us through thy word and through thy will. Lord, we rest in thee. Now, all these blessings and favors we are acclaimed, can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. Truly, we thank God tonight once again, as I said earlier, for his goodness. Amen. The psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord, how many know God's on your side? If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Amen. When my enemy rose up against me, where would I be tonight? But once again, we're dealing with the spirits that God has cast out, that God has cleansed us. But those spirits always hang around their original house. Their desire is to come back. Let's go back for a second. Oh, we're going to go back. Wait, I'm going to read this for you. Okay, we're going to start off. We're going to start off here for those that weren't here last week. All right. Verse 43 reads, and when the, what kind of spirit?
Unclean.
That is not of God. spirit is not of God. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he does what? Walking through dry places, seeking rest. When God cleanses us, or whatever the spirit, we said that alcoholism is a spirit. Nicotine is a spirit. Pornography is a spirit. Disobedience is a spirit. Jealousies are spirit. It is a spirit. All of those are spirits. Now there is only two spirits that exist in the world. Either you have the spirit of God that's influencing you, or it's going to be the spirit of who?
The
emissary of the devil. Those are the only two spirits. Now it doesn't, because you're being influenced doesn't mean that you're possessed. But you're being influenced. Jealousy is one of the worst spirits that we can have. Some people say we're jealous over spouse. No, some people are just jealous over everything. I don't have the kind of car you have. I don't have the kind of house. I don't have the kind of clothes that you wear. I don't talk like you. I don't look like you. I'm not built. Some people are just jealous over everything. Well, jealousy is one of the worst spirits, because Solomon said jealousy is more cruel than death. This is how Solomon describes. He said jealousy is more cruel than death. It is more torturous than hell. That's a bad spirit. But that's not the spirit we're going to focus on. We're dealing tonight with what kind of spirit? Unclean spirit. So it says when it seeketh rest and findeth what? None. Then saith he, I will return to my what? The spirit, whatever God has cast out. It leaves. But it always wants to come back. Those spirits, whatever the spirit is, and I don't have to tell any of us, every one of us know the spirit that tried to dominate us before we got saved. You fought it, I fought it, because those spirits always want to come back. You know, you say, well, God, I purpose to do the right thing. How do I keep slipping and messing up? Because when you don't watch and pray, that spirit will try to sneak in the back door. Not going to come in the front because you can see it, but because we're not sober-minded, which we're going to go over later, and we're not watching, the spirit will get in, and then you'll so upset at yourself, like, how did I allow it to happen again? Well, that spirit. Laziness is a what? Spirit. Softness is a spirit. And the spirit that overcomes laziness and softness is the spirit of the Lord, because Jesus said, the spirit of the Lord has God's spirit is the spirit of zeal. All right, the spirit that slumbers and sleeps, that's not God's spirit. But I'm not talking about anybody in here, but see, if we get ready to go help those other people on the outside, you'll be prepared. All right? Okay, so it says, then saith he, I will return to my house, from which I what? Came out of. And when he cometh, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. God has cleaned you up. And if you don't allow God's spirit to have the dominance of the control in your life, then that spirit says, good, I will go back and take with me seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is what? Worse than the first. Well, that is a bad spirit. So we want our eyes to be open, to be enlightened so that we can see. Now, we went over this last week, but we're going to go through it slower this week because last week was late. It said, Luke 12:35, let your loins be girt about and your light burning, and ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return. You can read Matthew 25 and talk about the five wise virgins and the five foolish. Five were wise and five were foolish. Five were prepared and watching, and five were unprepared and slumbered and slept. Slumbering and sleeping is not a preparation for God. When you slumber and sleep, it's impossible to make preparation for God. So it says, and then that when he cometh and knocketh, they may what? Open unto him immediately. Okay, let's the Lord, when he comes, he'll find what? The only way for that spirit not to have the control or dominance over us is we must be what? Watching. Amen. All of us pray. All of us trust God. All of us believe God. But Jesus told his disciples, it is time for you at his time to be, almost at the time of his crucifixion, he said you must watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. You must what? Watch and pray. Many of us pray, but we fail to watch. We fail to watch and we don't see that the devil is setting traps for us because we're not spiritually alert. I'm going to go faster because I have a lot at the same time. It says, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down. Verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so what? Blessed are those servants. So the only way that we can be blessed is we must be what? Watching. Now the question that we must all address tonight spiritually is, are we watching? Amen. Are we trying to see how the adversary is trying to trip us up? Are we trying to see how our idiosyncrasies have gotten the best of us? Are we watching at that person that seems to unnerve me and get on my nerve and rub me the wrong way? We are praying, true, but are we watching? The Apostle Paul was the greatest of all the apostles. He said, I must keep under my body. I must watch and I must pray. Lest after I have preached to others, I will become spiritually worthless. Why? Because he said, I must watch and pray. He said, well, when you watch and pray, blessed are those servants. Now, this is what we must do in order for the devil, in order for the demons, in order for those influences that like to try to get the advantage of us, not to get the advantage. He says, and this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the what? And we know who's the thief. The Bible says the devil is what? A thief and a... He's always trying to get back. He's always trying to rob us of joy. He's trying to rob us of praise. He's trying to rob us of victory. He's trying to rob us of what God has blessed us to achieve. He's nothing more than a thief or a robber. But if we are watching, amen, that is a commandment from God. We must watch. He said, if he had known what hour the thief would come, he would have won. The way that we struggle, the way that we have some of the same problems over and over again is because we stop watching. Amen. When we watch, the devil can't get the advantage. It says, and not have stuff in his house to be what? The devil can't get back in. He said, would not have suffered his house to be what? Remember, the devil is always trying to come back home. That spirit is always trying to come back where he came out of. So when we do not watch, amen, when we do not pray, when we're not spiritually alert, then we get the door, we open the door for him to come in and have an influence. It's in our reference, it's 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be what? Sober. Sober is a mind, it's an alert mind. All right, sober is an alert mind. Spiritually alert, be what? Vigilant, which is watchful spiritually. So we must be sober of mind, and we must be also what? Vigilant, watching spiritually. We know the devil's desire is to have all of us, that he may sift us as wheat. How do we know what the Lord said in Luke chapter 22? He said, behold, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I pray that your faith fails not. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
And then the next portion of the verse 9 says, whom ye shall resist steadfast in the... A lot of times we think, well, I can just talk to the devil. No, you can't. That devil don't care about you. You know how many thousands he's destroyed? And you think you can talk to the devil? Well, I can reason with him. No, you can't. The only way we can defeat the devil is through faith. And that's why Jesus prayed that our faith would not... A lot of our faith is failing. Because we're trying to fight a battle that's not a carnal battle, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're what? Mighty through God. Thank God for fans. Amen. We feel better. It says, be there, therefore also ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. We're living spiritually in a time when everyone is just so comfortable that things are okay. Jesus is still coming back. Amen. You better make preparations. We better open our eyes spiritually to see that the Lord is on his way. Verse 42 says, who? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and what?
Wise.
When we are watchful, when we are spiritually alert, we are what? Faithful, and we are wise. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his house to give them their portion. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What is he doing?
Watching.
So the devil or that spirit or anyone else can get the advantage when we pray and watch. You know, most of the time we leave church, we're up on a spiritual high. And before you can get halfway out the door, bam. You get that trial, you know why? You weren't watching. When we let down our guards, spiritual guards, then the devil will get the advantage. When we keep our spiritual guard up, what are you doing? I'm looking, I'm watching. Because I know he has a desire to have me, and most of all, he's walking around as a roaring lion. He says, of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him rule over his house. He said, but if that servant say in his heart, and I think this is what's happened to a lot of saved individuals today, they've gotten comfortable in their wrong. They've gotten comfortable not watching, they've gotten comfortable not praying. He said, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord, what? Well, you know, the Bible says there are scoffers that say the Lord is not really coming, or there's some that say the Lord is already come. The Lord is coming. So we should live every day as though it is our last day, because God is coming. And shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, eat and drink. The Lord of that servant will come in a time when he's not ready. He's not looking. So we must stay spiritually alert for what the devil traps and tricks that the devil is trying to set against us. And that servant which knew his Lord's will. How many know God's will? All right. You got to ask. This is not going to invite you. How many know God's will? You know it's God's will for you to be saved, right? That's enough. How many know you're supposed to be saved? All right, good. He said, but that servant which knew his Lord's will and did not what? Prepare himself. Being saved is not just... I'll just go through the motion. It's a what? Preparation. There were five wise virgins and five foolish. The five foolish were unprepared. The five wise were prepared. And for the sake of time, you can read about that yourself in Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 10 or 12. Read that for yourself. We want to be the five wise virgins. We want to be making our preparations. But he that knew not and did commit those things worthy of strife shall be beaten with few. For to whomsoever much is given of him, what? Much is required. Amen. If we know and don't do, God said, you know, I require more of you than those that don't know. That's why the scripture said it is unwise for us to compare ourselves with the number. The scripture says it's unwise because we have to compare ourselves with someone else. yourselves with yourselves, and then marry yourself by yourself. Our standard for marrying and comparing should be God's word. Nothing else counts. Well, you're not like Elder so-and-so or Minister so-and-so. God's word should be our measuring stick. We want to imitate, or we want to be like Jesus. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he says, what? Awake. Now let me ask you a question. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, was he writing to the church or to the world? To the church. Right? So he's telling the church, you're not watching. You're not making preparations. You're not praying like you should. So he says to them, it is time for you to awake. Amen. And I read one gentleman had a thing, in his commentary, he said, you know, you can talk when you sleep. You can walk when you sleep. You can do a lot of things when you sleep. So because you are walking, talking doesn't mean that you're awake. We're not talking about a natural awake. We're talking about a what? Spiritual awakening. To awake means to arise from a what kind of stupor? Spiritual stupor, and become devoted again to God. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's for God I live and for God I die. Amen. Our devotion has to be to God in spite of him, her, it, and whatever else. Our devotion has to be to God. Well, some of us tonight may be spiritually asleep. It's time to do what? Awake out of sleep. That thou that sleepest. Sleep is just a carnal indifference to spiritual things on the part of believers. In other words, I know what God's word says, but it's not, I'm just not going to do it. That is a carnal indifference. Amen. We must awake from that type of sleep. And our reference for that, let's go to, can you read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14? Well, I actually have 14. Can you get 1 Thessalonians 5, 6? Because this is not to the world. These writings, Thessalonians and Ephesians, was to who? The church. All right. 5, 6. I have it. What? If not, I can just read it. All right, why don't we do it for the sake of time? We'll just read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 6. And this, once again, Paul dealt with the Thessalonian church about being awake. All right, chapter 5, verse 6, read, therefore let us not sleep as do others. We must be spiritually alert. We must be awake. It's no longer time to be spiritually asleep. So let us not sleep as to others, but let us do what? Watch and be sober. We must what? Watch and be sober. Paul said, be sober, be vigilant. Now, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Paul says, watch and be sober. It is a presence of mind. Soberness is dealing with the mind. Watching is our spiritual alertness. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 35 and 36. This will explain why we struggle so much day in and day out when we should be on a spiritual high, and we wind up on spiritual lows because we are not watching and we have not made a conscientious effort mentally to be spiritually awake. Verse 35 of Mark 13 reads, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even at midnight or at the cock crow. In other words, God can come anytime. And the only way that we'll be looking for him, ready for him, is we must be watching. We must be watching. And it's verse 36 says, lest coming suddenly he findeth you to the church. How can the church be spiritual? How can we be praying and asleep? So it's high time to what? We're going to get to that next area. It's high time for us to wake out of sleep. All right, it says also sleeping is a condition of insensibility to divine things and conforming to the... If we don't watch, if we don't try to keep God involved, if we're not spiritually alert, then our greater influence will come from the world. He said, then arise a spiritual awakening from the dead. How can you be spiritually saved and be dead? You can be saved and be dead. It's time to arise from the dead. And dead is spiritual separation. Spiritual separation from God. I pray, I get up every day, but I don't even feel God touch. I can't feel God moving. I feel as though God is so far away from me. I go through the motions of being saved, but in all actuality, I am dead. Paul said it's time to awake out of sleep. It's time to arise. It's time to come out of the dead. How can the church be asleep? How can the church be dead? Because they are not watching, they're not praying, and not they, I said, we are not watching, we're not praying, and our influences are not coming any no longer from God, but from the world. That is someone that is asleep. Alright, from the dead, spiritual operation. Can y'all make it smaller? You want to go smaller? Alright, it says, when it says Christ shall give thee light, which is to enlighten with, and tonight we're dealing with God doing what? Enlightening us. If you slide up a little closer, will it get smaller? Okay, Isaiah 59:1. Now we said, when you're asleep, sleep is what? Separation from who? God. Now let's go to Isaiah 59:1. And I'll read it quickly for the sake of time. You all don't have to try to find it, but if you want to find it, that's fine too. Isaiah 59, I'm going to read verses 1-2, and then we'll go to verse 10. Separation from God. Amen. Verse 1 of 59, Isaiah 59 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save. God never changes. He's the same today, tomorrow, and what? He stays the same. He doesn't change. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. We say, I've been praying, but God is not moving. God's arm is not short that he cannot save. This save means to deliver. And his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear you. But the reason that God is not moving in the midst of our lives is it says, put your iniquities. Iniquity is when you plan to do wrong. Iniquity is planning to rebel against God's word. That's what iniquity is. Now if you mess up, that's a transgression. But when you know it's wrong, and you plan to do it, and you scheme and connive and do it anyway, that is an iniquity. Iniquity is when you know it's wrong. You know it's not in God's word. You know God will not get any pleasure out of that, and you said, I'm going to do it anyway. That's iniquity. Amen. But your iniquities have separated. Your iniquities have caused you to be spiritually asleep or spiritually dead. Your iniquities have separated from God. Iniquity is knowing and it's wrong, but doing it anyway. That is iniquity. It separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face
And the Bible says it's iniquity, and iniquity is always sin. That would cause God not to hear us. And God won't make a way. Verse 10 reads, this is like a person that is almost asleep. It says, we grope for the wall like the blind. Amen. In other words, we are so spiritually out of tune, we're just reaching and groping. We can't even feel our way through. Why? Because we spiritually are not alert. Spiritually, we're not watching, and our minds are not sober. To be sober-minded means that I see God's word, and I hide it in my heart so that I will not sin against him. He says we grope, and as if we had no eyes, we stumble at the noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Why? Because our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God. So because we are separated from God, we are as what kind of men? Dead men. Amen. But when we watch and alert, God is with us. So see then that ye walk circumspectly, means to walk in the light of God's word, not deviating from God's word by walking in our own deceit. And Proverbs 3:7 talks about, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. Like, how much of our heart do we really trust God with? Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Amen. When we aren't watching, when we're not praying, then we're leaning to our own understanding. And our own understanding, the Bible refers to it as the carnal mind. And the scripture says the carnal mind is enmity against God. So it says the carnal mind is in the flesh. And if we walk in the flesh, Romans 8 says, we cannot please God. That is the carnal mind. And it says, not as fools. A fool will be unwise, no reverence for God or his word. But as wise, endowed with spiritual as well as practical wisdom, in James 3:13 and Proverbs 1:5. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Tonight, when we're trying to be saved, when we can't be saved doing it our way. Many of us, because we've been saved for so long, we have rewritten salvation. Some of us have the salvation of Elder Camp. Some of us have the salvation of Sister Keela. No, I can't do it. I need to be, because I can take it. I won't think that y'all will take it on me. But what I'm saying is, some of us have taken God's word, and because we're not spiritually alert and watching, we have added to and we have taken away. We don't have this here. Now I've got to go to the two scriptures for spiritual alert. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 30. Even though I don't have this in here, we need to know that when we stand before God, we're going to be judged out of the book, which is the word of God. Go to Proverbs chapter 30, and we're going to read verse 5, and then I think we'll go to Revelation, I think it's chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 reads, every word of God is pure. God's word is not tainted, and there's no evil in it. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure. Amen. And God is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Then verse 6 says, add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We live in a day and age where people are just adding to God's word and making it say what they want to say. The word of God said, don't add to it, and don't you take away from it. Amen. Even if you are a minister or an elder, or if you're in some spiritual position, don't add to God's word. And don't you take away from it. God said, because the minute you start adding your own doctrines, the minute you start rewriting my word, God says, I will reprove you and find you to be a liar. Amen. And we're living in a day and age where people are just dissecting God's word to make it fit their lives however they want it to fit. That's not right. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We don't want to add to it, and we don't want to what? Take away from it. Amen. Because every word of God is pure. Not only is God's word pure, but God's word is true. And the reason that we struggle is because we have been adding to it and we have been taking away from it. Amen. I got to find this one. That is 18. 22:18. Read, "For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." God's word is so true. "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." Amen. "And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So God says his word is so true. We shouldn't add to it, neither shall we take away from it. What we have, the spirit of sleep and slumber, you know, I'm not going to go any further. I need to go. I'm going to go a little further. Well, you know what? Boom, 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 boom. Oh, let's go back here. We just go to this part here. We just go to this part. We go to first John 4:6. If you want the rest of it, it's a lot more. I'll give you a copy of the PowerPoint presentation. But it says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of what? Truth." Amen. Being saved is all about the what? Truth. It's not about being in error. It's not about doing things our way. It's about the spirit of truth. Spirit of truth is always clean and it is always pure. And the spirit of, so there is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. When we are not sober-minded, when we're not watching, when we're not praying, it's easy for the spirit of error to direct our steps. But in order for that spirit not to direct us, we must watch and pray. It says verse 6, 9. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" It's time for us, the Bible said, to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we what? First believe. So when wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? The church is asleep. The church has been blindsided and blinded by the affairs of the world. It's time for us to get back into God's business. Amen. It's time for us, amen, to turn our eyes back to God's holy hills from which cometh all of our help. It's time for us to stop being spiritually dead and become spiritually alive. Revelation 16:15 says, "Behold, I come as a..." God is coming back. Amen. You can say he's not, but God is coming back. He said, "Now, but the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day, but God said, I am coming back." That you can bank on. He said, "Now, in me coming back, blessed is he that what? Watch." The most important thing we can do tonight is to wake up spiritually. It's time to shake off the doldrums of sins and weights and our own weights. So many of us are being governed by our own spirit and our own minds that we are rivaling God. We're adding things, parts of God's word that God never had that was there. And then there are parts that apply directly to our lives and we take it away. Well, God says, my children,
He said, I will reprove you and find you to be a liar. And can you go to Second Corinthians chapter 6. This is the last one. How many know you're a child of God? I know I'm a child. Come on, how many know you're a child of God?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God said, if you're my child, this is what I want you to do. 2 Corinthians 6. Is it all right if you can be led a little bit? Amen. Because we want to overcome our struggles. Our struggles that continue to get the advantage of us is because we are not watching and we are not praying. Amen. Some of us are praying, but we're not watching. Some are watching, but we're not praying. But Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And last week we went over to John. When the Lord told them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation, go to verse 14, okay? He told them to watch and pray, lest they enter into temptation. Then when Judas came with the chief priests and all the soldiers, the first thing that Peter did was got up to fight a carnal, natural battle. And Jesus told him, he said, Peter, not now. He said, put your shield, your sword back into the sheath, because it's not time to fight that kind of battle. When we don't watch and pray, we will fight with our mouth and fight with our own abilities instead of resting in Jesus. So I'm saying, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, that victory shall be mine. Many of us are fighting battles and we're losing because we don't rest in Jesus and we don't rest in God. Verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, what fellowship have light with darkness? Let me say light. What fellowship has righteousness with? We're saved. We don't act unrighteous. There's no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. And what communion has light with? We are the light of the world. Darkness is always reference to sin. God wants us to stand out and be different. We cannot act like, talk like, walk like, and think like the world. We must be what? Different. He said, what concord has Christ with Belial? In other words, what are the common things that God has with the devil? Christ and the devil have nothing in common. Or what part hath he that believeth with an unbeliever? As a believer, we don't have parts with unbeliever. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For guess what? We are the what? You are the temple of God. How many know that God is in us? He's in us in the Holy Ghost. So we are now the temple of God. Amen. And God has said, I will what? Dwell in them. Everywhere we go, he's with us. Dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He said, I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to dwell in them. I'm going to be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the next verse says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye sanctified, be set apart for God. We can't be spiritually alert. We cannot watch. We cannot be sober-minded and continue to intermingle with the affairs of the world. Now, this doesn't mean go climb in some mountain somewhere and say I'm spiritual and waiting on God. No. What he's saying is don't let your influences come from the world. Amen. Don't you get entangled with the things of the world. Don't get entangled with all the things that are saved, because we should be looking out to Jesus. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be what?
resist them. They're going to constantly keep trying to come back. He said, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And go to verse 1 of the 7th chapter. This is where we're finished at. The same, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Even though they break it up, it actually used to be a continual thought. That saith the Lord, I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters. I'm so glad I'm a child of God tonight. He said, now having therefore these, what are the promises that we are in his temple? To come out from among them and be separate. He said, because we have these promises daily, because of his beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all what? Filthiness of the flesh that includes the mind. Amen. Clean your mind up. God can have a filthy mind. He said, filthiness of the flesh and spirit. How do you have a filthy spirit? Because that's spirit. The head, the dominance is always trying to do what? Man. So you have to cleanse yourself from the flesh and the mind and the spirit. Well, how do you do that? By being sober-minded and watching. Perfecting what?
Holiness.
Perfecting what? Holiness. Holiness is the highest, purest form of spiritual living that we can possibly do. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall what? As we stand, but before he said without holiness, he gave us another command. He said what? Follow peace. With what? All men. As we stand and the ministers come forward, it's about overcoming. And Paul says, we are more than conquerors. It's easy for us to overcome. We are more than conquerors through him that, well, you can't do it unless you watch and pray. Unless you're soberly minded. Unless you are making spiritual preparations, you can't do it. So tonight, refuse to allow the old man of yesterday to influence the new man of today. Once again, refuse to allow the old man of yesterday to influence the new man of today. Because the Bible said, if any of us are in Christ, we are now a new creature.